and welcome to Dealcast, the weekly M&A podcast from Merger Market. I'm Juliana Needham. I'm a business journalist, and I've been writing about and talking about M&A for a decade. Now, the US stock markets may have hit record highs recently, but a growing number of companies are opting for life away from the scrutiny of the public markets. To find out more about this growing trend for going private, I'm joined by Troy Hooper, who is a senior editor for Merger Market, and by Cristiano Della Bona, who is a US equity capital markets reporter. Hi, Troy. Hi, Cristiano. Thanks for joining me.
Hi, Juliana.
Hello.
So, Troy, starting with you, can you talk about the trend of public companies going private in the US? What do you know? What are you seeing? And what's the data showing?
Yeah, so a funny thing happened on the way to the US stock market hitting record highs this year. Several of these publicly traded companies decided they would be better off operating in the private markets. Take private activity is at its highest level in nearly two decades, according to Merger Market data. In the year to date, we've had 34 companies that have gone public, which is the most, that have gone private, which is the most since 2007. And take private transaction volume as a percentage of total M&A volume is at nearly 14%. And that's the highest level since 2007.
And can you talk about the difference between the smaller or mid-cap space and the larger companies?
Yeah, so we have a bifurcated market where there's a group of companies like NVIDIA and Microsoft and Meta that have done very well on the stock markets. But there's another group of companies that are really of all different sizes that have not done so well. But the smaller companies especially, they've had a difficult time with the increase in regulatory and reporting requirements. It's just made operating in the public markets very expensive, burdensome. And when you're a public company, you're also in a fishbowl. You're constantly being scrutinized, and some of them just can't hold up to all the scrutiny that they're under.
And Cristiano, coming to you, can you talk to me about what you're hearing from advisors or sources, please?
Yes, it's interesting because we quote an advisor in our piece that mentioned that the reality is there are companies which, for a variety of reasons, would benefit from no longer being public. But then you will speak with advisors that say some of these companies should never have gone public in the first place. One notable example is the special purpose acquisition companies that we've seen, you know, riding a real transaction wave back in 2021. You can see, especially in technology, how a lot of these SPACs have been suffering post-merger. They are even called by an advisor orphaned IPOs because they have been suffering from performance issues and they've been relatively unpopular with investors. The targets were not always exactly in line with what investors wanted. And if you combine it with valuation problems and more regulatory scrutiny from the SEC, you will see how from a longer term focus, escaping that kind of quarterly deadline for their financial results, having less scrutiny, could make them more suitable candidates to remain in private hands in the future.
Yeah, and it's funny you mentioned that trend. I'd maybe call it a bit of a frenzy a few years ago when there seemed to be a rush in the US to list via those special purpose acquisition companies or SPACs. And it's something we saw here in London, as Troy and I had spoke about previously, that a lot of the mining companies became public via that route some 10, 15 years ago in London, and not many of those were successful. And Troy, coming back to you, can you talk about what's driving the trend, please?
Yeah, there's been a mix of motivations that are causing these companies looking to leave the NASDAQ and the New York Stock Exchange. As Cristiano mentioned, you know, SPACs have played a big role in that. And the technology sector in particular is suffering from a dislocation. A lot of tech companies went public during the SPAC mania of 2021. And now they've been sort of orphaned and unloved by investors. And meanwhile, on the other side of the coin, you have, one thing that's sort of uniting all the bidders, and that is that these private equity firms have vast amounts of capital to deploy. So they see a lot of opportunities on the public stock exchanges. that are better than the ones that they're seeing in the private markets. There's still a valuation gap between buyers and sellers in the private markets, whereas, you know, especially with some of these SPACs that have been unloved, there are some, you know, discounted public companies and some valuations that are much more palpable to these buyers.
And Troy, staying with you, we've seen the cost of debt go up in recent years with interest rates rising. Where does the leverage financing fit into the picture?
Yeah, so you're right. The interest rates obviously did raise or were on the rise for quite a while there. But now the leveraging financing costs are starting to come down. In fact, they've dropped over the last 6 to 12 months. And that's fueled some of this take private activity that we're seeing, especially amongst the tech firms that are being taken private. The average yield on these loans for that are being used for leveraged buyouts, it actually dropped almost 10% in the first quarter. And that's the lowest level since 2022 in the third quarter. That's according to DebtWire data.
And Cristiano, coming back to you, can you talk through some of the deals that have been done, please?
Sure. Only this week, we have seen the take private of Squarespace by Permira for $6.9 billion. That was a 2021 listing. And the rationale here is that they want to have better opportunities for growth, more flexible resources. I would say another notable deal is the take private of sports and entertainment company Endeavor by Silver Lake. Silver Lake has been invested in the company since 2012. They helped them through acquisitions. And now still they never really gain traction in terms of stock. So they feel like going back into private hands would be the best option for the future. It's interesting because this is probably the largest take private by a private equity firm in a decade. We are talking about a deal worth $14.9 billion, but when you look at the total equity value, we are rising up to around $25 billion. And I'll tell you more. Basically, when you look at the transactions that have been done recently, about 16 out of 34 take private in North America this year were all valued at more than $1 billion.
Thanks, Cristiano. And what about the deals that you're expecting to see? What are the companies that are likely to go private in the next year or so?
We will see a lot of action in retail. Obviously, interest rates are high and inflation has dampened consumer appetite. So you can expect to see more action on the front of Macy's, which is being circled by several suitors. And at the same time, Nordstrom. It was reported this week that Sycamore is circling the company. So I would say retail and other technology candidates could provide ground for more takeover action in the coming months.
And do you have a list of companies that you're monitoring that went onto the public markets through the SPAC route a few years ago?
Yeah, we sure do, Juliana. In fact, one example would be 23andMe, which is the DNA testing company. Their CEO has announced that she would like to take that company private. 23andMe went public through a SPAC back in 2021. And when they did so, 23andMe was valued at $3.5 billion. Well, today, they're actually a penny stock worth only about $240 million.
Wow, that's a really good example of what I guess can go wrong on the public markets and why it's not always a good idea. And just finally, a question for both of you. How do you expect this trend to evolve? Is it something you expect to see continuing, a kind of move away from the public markets and the scrutiny that they involve?
We do. As Cristiano mentioned earlier, we actually had a take private deal announced yesterday. And what we're hearing from advisors is that there are quite a few candidates of companies that could be taken private. And as we mentioned, you know, there's just a lot of dry powder on the sidelines that's, you know, willing to do that.
I would add to that saying that, you know, public markets aren't easy. A lot of these stocks have been on very turbulent rides since their initial public offerings. And if you think about the prospect of a private buyer that is happy to provide the same resources, that will be more patient in terms of a growth strategy of a company over a number of years, you can bet that this will be an incredibly appealing option for a lot of these companies that are now rethinking their initial strategy.
Troy, Cristiano, thanks very much. That was Troy Hooper and Cristiano Della Bona. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Dealcast from Merger Market. I'm Juliana Needham. If you enjoyed the podcast, please follow it. And if you're listening through Apple, please rate and review the show. If you'd like to find out more about what we've been talking about on this episode, have a look at our show notes. Join us again next week.